love song.
The Alma Mater Society invites all AMS members to vote on October 30th and 31st in the fall referendum. Visit myams.org or at AMS Governance on Instagram for more information about your ballot and watch your Queen's email for voting instructions. Have your voice heard. Get out and vote on October 30th and 31st in the AMS fall referendum at Queen's University.
All right, welcome to 30 Years of Nonsense. It's Terry.
And partly Sherry today. As you can hear in my voice, I'm pretty sick, so I'm going to leave most of the talking to Terry today. He's going to tell us what he learned about his parents' musical memories and some concerts that they attended. And I'm going to quietly listen along with you all and interject with some questions and help guide the conversation along, but I'm going to be fairly quiet. My apologies. I just am not feeling well.
Yeah, that's okay. Even before we get to that, we're going to talk a little bit about our weekend we just had. We had a great weekend. Sherry and I went to see a football game down in Connecticut, as you know, and then as a surprise, I took her to see The Notebook on Broadway with some friends. So.
It was fantastic, and I wish I could tell you about it. Highly recommend both the football game. It was my first time at a college game day game.
Yeah.
Spectacular, and let's just say for The Notebook, I was crying from the first song, and Terry had to give me his pocket square, and I needed to ice my face afterwards.
Yeah, and it was pretty funny, actually. I obviously didn't pay attention to the little booth that they had set up with Kleenex, because just before the first intermission, or the only intermission, the intermission at the first half of the play, I turned to Sharon and I go, wouldn't it be great if they actually set up a stand that sold Kleenex? And we literally walked out into the main foyer, and there was a stand just selling Kleenex. That's all they were selling. And that lady was the busiest lady, I think, the whole show.
And they needed to. I actually thought about leaving at the second act because I couldn't take it.
Yeah, it was. I, like I said, I'd never seen. Oh, I don't think I told anybody. So I'd never really seen the movie. I'd seen bits and pieces of it.
I can't believe that.
I know.
We can't be friends.
Yeah. I've seen the play now. I'm better than most. But it was fantastic. It was really, really well done. And we'll talk about it another day when we're doing Broadway stuff.
Yeah, we're going to do Broadway episode one day because we really like Broadway.
Well, and I think this falls into my top five for sure of all Broadway shows.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to Hamilton and Dear Evan Hansen. You might have got bumped.
I don't think Hamilton and Dear Evan Hansen got bumped. It's still top five for me. Those two for sure. And Les Mis will always be number one. But let me tell you today, I'm literally doing kind of a, I've been hanging out with my parents a little bit more and, you know, I'm traveling for work and stuff and I'm staying at their house during the week. And, one thing we started talking about was music and our love for music. My dad was a DJ for probably about 30 to 40 years as well. So my dad and I used to DJ every weekend together, or he would be at a gig and I'd be at a gig and we'd meet up after. And it was a lot of fun. We did that for several years. My dad just retired just before the pandemic from DJing. So, and we still talk about it. But one thing I didn't realize is how much my parents really went to concerts. So we talk about our 30 years of nonsense. My parents had their own. And
I'm sure they did.
Absolutely. And it's funny because when we got talking about the show and talking about doing music that they really loved and, you know, and things, shows for them, they actually, when they went on their 30-year anniversary, they went to Vegas and they saw shows. They went and saw a bunch of concerts. So it's pretty funny. So I was laughing, just sitting reminiscing with my parents the last little bit about the shows that they've seen and the places they've gone. And I found out some really cool stuff. I didn't know I had, well, I knew I had uncles, but I have one particular uncle that's a pretty famous banjo player. Out of Ireland. He was the all-Ireland banjo champion, and then his daughter was as well. He owned his own music store, and he used to jam with some famous artists. So Rolling Stones have been to his house, Jim Reeves, a couple other artists. My dad said his house looked like a a photo booth of like famous musicians.
Cool.
He lived across the street from this music venue, and they would come over and they would jam at his place after, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, I knew nothing about it, but I did look him up, and it's, you know, he's, unfortunately, he's gone now, and his daughter's in his 80s. His daughter's about my dad's age, so they're both in their 80s and stuff, but it's really cool, and that's, you know, that's a guy that he used to get my dad into shows, and then I had an aunt that was in the music industry as well, and she used to take him and get him into shows. So, yeah, it's pretty funny that, you know, I feel like it's like a mirror image I'm kind of living with of my dad, if, as far as that's concerned.
Well, that's definitely where you got your love for music, because you often talk about just remembering music in your household on Saturday mornings when everybody was helping with chores.
Yeah, and it's funny, some of these songs I'm going to play today, some of the artists, I mean, I'm not going to play Neil Diamond. I think that's probably my dad's all-time favorite. I used to hear only Neil Diamond playing all the time. We talk about Dr. Hook and that stuff, and Neil Sedaka. I'm going to play a Neil Sedaka song because my dad did see Neil Sedaka play. But the first person I'm going to talk about is Jim Reeves. And Jim Reeves, I didn't know, he was the pioneer of the Nashville sound. So in the late 1950s, I guess, he became a musician. He got his way into, he was actually a semi-pro baseball player in Texas. And he actually started as a DJ and then ended up his way becoming a performer. But as part of that, he was at a Louisiana fair called the Hayride. And the main performer that was meant to go on was late, and he was able to go up and perform. And that's how he got his first kind of big break in music. And the song that I'm going to play today is kind of funny because I didn't know it was actually that song. He actually scored his greatest hit with a song called He'll Have to Go. And it was literally on the country and western charts. They call it the country and western back there, not the country charts, but the country and western charts for 14 consecutive weeks as number one. So obviously a massive hit for him. And then he went off and he toured. And what I found interesting is he toured. They talk about the tours that he went on. So they say he toured South Africa, Europe, UK, and specifically touring Ireland. So in 1963, he tours Ireland, and that's when my dad sees him, which is kind of neat. So my dad goes to see him, he goes to see him at this venue, and no one's going to know the town. It's a town called Ballymena. So it's this little town or whatever, and there's a dance. They call it a dance hall, but it's really a music venue or like a, you know, like a concert hall, but they call them, right? That's what they called him back then.
Yep.
So my dad went to see him there, and then my uncle named Jack McGarvey, and this is this famous banjo player. He goes and hangs out with him, and you know, I didn't know we were related to this guy, so I'm looking all this information up on this guy, and I thought it was really cool. And and then I found out like Jack McGarvey himself, he writes a bunch of music. And he has 4 albums on Decca Records. Now, it's funny because when I was driving home with your mom last night, I was telling her this story, and I said Decca Records. And she goes, yeah, no, I remember them.
Oh.
And it's funny, and it's like I'm like talking about Jim Reeves, and she's like, yeah, no, I remember him too.
She's the same age as them.
All right, so it's kind of funny. So it's I don't think about it in that way, and it's really interesting for me. So I'm going to start the show off today with a little Jim Reeves. And He'll Have to Go is the song I'm going to play for you guys today. And again, this is kind of an homage to my parents and all the music that they love and the music that I grew up with. So this one's for you guys.
Put your sweet lips a little closer to the phone. Let's pretend that we're together all alone. I'll tell the man to turn the jukebox way down low, and you can tell your friend there with you he'll have to go. Whisper to me, tell me, do you love me true?
should I hang up, or will you tell him he'll have to go? You can't say the words I want to hear while you're with another man. Do you want me answer yes or no? Darling, I'll understand. Put your sweet lips a little closer to the phone. Let's pretend that we're together all alone. I'll tell the man to turn the jukebox way down low. And you can tell your friend there with you, he'll have to.
So that's the first of many classics we're going to play today. So I'm pretty pumped about this one. So this is going to be a fun day for me playing some stuff that I heard growing up.
It's especially fun when I'm being quiet for you.
Yeah. So the next person we're going to talk about today is Dusty Springfield. And you just said, is that a guy?
I literally thought that was a guy.
No. So
I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know either. So she was actually, her real name is Mary Isabel Catherine Bernadette O'Brien.
That's a lot of Irish names. But
you would think so. But she actually was born in England. So It's kind of funny that, yeah. But she was a British singer, and she was renowned for her contributions to the blue-eyed soul genre, as well as pop, country, and jazz. But it's funny, she makes her professional debut joining a group called the Lana Sisters. But then 2 years later, she leaves that group, and she joins her brother. Now, her brother's name is Dion O'Brien. But what's funny is she changes her name to Dusty Springfield. He changes his name to Tom Springfield. So they all sound like they're still, they're still related, but having that same name. And then she's joined by another friend of hers called Tim Field, and they found the pop trio called the Springfields. And then she goes off. They have a little bit of success between 61 and 63. They have 5 songs in the UK in the top 40. Biggest song for them was probably Island of Dreams, Say I Won't Be There, which was probably her biggest as the trio in 93, or 63, not 93. It reaches top 5. So, and then they kind of fade things out. And then she goes off and she has her own kind of solo career. And it's kind of cool. She does her own thing and she kind of goes through. And she has a whole bunch of hits in the 60s and 70s. And I didn't realize how old she was. I got to be honest. I've heard songs from her and stuff, but I wasn't even sure it was the same Dusty Springfield because she kind of goes away in the 70s and then just, you know, has nothing. But what I found interesting is Dusty Springfield makes a remarkable comeback in 1987 with her collaboration with a British duo, Pet Shop Boys.
I do like the Pet Shop Boys.
Right, I know. Mm-hmm. And the song is What Have I Done to Deserve This? And I mean, she has 2 other collaborations with them as well. But I mean, it's pretty funny that a band that we both like growing up, it collaborates with music that our parents like, right? It's really funny, right? And maybe not funny, but kind of remarkable, right? So again, she's got that whole Nashville kind of piece to it as well. She died, unfortunately, March 2nd, 99, at age 59.
So she didn't, that's young.
It's really, really young.
It's really young.
Yeah, my parents actually saw her at they call it a seaside resort. It was Blackpool in England. And they saw her perform. And they said they had seen a lot of performers kind of in the Blackpool area. Because I was saying, like, well, who did you see? And they were like, oh, we saw this guy and this guy. And we'll get to them. But they saw multiple performers. And it was kind of like and I said, well, was it like a regular concert? And they said, no, they would come on and do a few numbers. And there would be multiple artists in a night, almost like a talent show or, open mic or a festival type of thing. But it was all on the same stage. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think that's kind of cool. I mean, I didn't get into the whole thing. Did they use the same backing artists and stuff like that? Because it'd be a lot to change drum kits and all that, I guess, and stuff like that back in the day. But and it is now as well. But I mean, it was funny. I was looking up her and Being in Blackpool, and I went back to the year that they saw her, and in 1966, it was almost like she had a residency there, almost like they do in Vegas now. She was there for like all of the summer of 1966. So my parents could have seen her multiple times. But I mean, it's really, really cool to think about, well, for me, and I'm sure you do as well, when you think about your parents going off to see concerts and those kind of things. I mean, sorry about that. Sure. It's a little knock on some stuff there. But for me, it's kind of cool to like think about all those different bands and stuff that our parents have seen. And then playing those, I play a ton of this music all the time. And so for me, it's kind of neat. This one is Dusty Springfield, Son of a Preacher Man. I mean, it's a pretty famous song, and everybody loves it, and I hope you guys do too.
Billy Ray was a preacher's son, and when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered around and started talking, Cousin Billy would take me walking out through the backyard. We go walking, then he looked into my eyes. Lord knows, to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. Yes, he was. No matter how hard I try, when he started sweet talking to me, he'd come and tell me everything is alright. He'd kiss and tell me everything's alright. Can I get away again tonight? The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was.
That's a great song. It kind of just goes forever. So the next band we're going to talk about today is the Kingston Trio. So they're a folk band from the 1950s, 1960s. And for me, this when I was doing my research on this band, I was really interested because two of the three players in the band actually played banjo. And when I was doing the research on my Uncle Jack McGarvey...
There's a lot of banjo going on today.
Well, what I thought was, did they ever play any of his banjos? So then I was trying to figure that out and do a little bit of deep dive. I didn't have enough time because I just found this recently out about Jack. So I'm going to do some more research to see if these guys ever bought a banjo from him, because he actually owned a music store, right? At the back of his house was a music store, and some of the paperwork said, like, artists would come, and he would just constantly bring different instruments up so they could jam and play gigs and stuff in the house. And there's some old photos of him and some musicians playing in his house in this article. So, I thought it was kind of neat. But this band, they're called the Kingston Trio. They're out of Palo Alto, California. So they're basically this folk revival group. They come around in the 50s, kind of changing that landscape of regular pop and stuff, and they make it a little more folky. So out of the California area, you've got Sam and Dave and, you know, the Beach Boys and stuff all around that time. And these guys are making it a little more folky. So, they play a lot of the San Francisco nightclubs and stuff like that. And they're basically just high school friends, apparently. So it's these three high school buddies, and they play this kind of this folk music. And it, what's kind of funny is they become really, really popular and they start touring, but then the British invasion comes, and specifically the Beatles.
Right.
And so all the way up until about 68, they're doing really, really well. And then the British invasion comes to California, and they literally kind of decide at that point, hey, we're no longer this popular, and they decide to go off and pursue other kind of things to do. But what I did find out is the Kingston Trio, which is funny, is still touring, but it's none of the original members. Okay. So in 2021, they went back touring, but none of the original members. So they've basically taken the name and they're doing that same kind of folk stuff, but they're no longer the same thing. I mean, they had Grammy Awards for Best Country and Western Recording. Group's next album was like they had some number two hits, number three hits. They had a number one hit. It's like they go on and on, their hits and stuff. And I just enjoyed kind of listening to them. And they sing a song, and it's funny because we had in the guys,
Friends from work.
Friends from work.
You're welcome. Sorry.
Thanks. I was having a brain freeze.
Yeah, my foggy sick brain knew what you were going to say.
Yeah, yeah. It's so funny because Friends from Work sing a song called Scotch and Soda.
Mm-hmm.
This song they sing is called Scotch and Soda as well. So I'm wondering if it's just, and I know Friends from Work have done some covers and stuff, so I'm wondering if it's their cover. I'm going to have to go back. And again, as part of it, I didn't have enough time to find out if it was the original kind of cover, but I'll look that up and I might play them back to back one day to see how well they go. Yeah, and it's pretty neat. I mean, now my parents saw this band, and they saw a bunch of other bands in a hall called St. Columb's Hall. And you think of it as kind of being like this, like a church hall is what I thought it was, but it isn't. It's actually a huge venue where there's weddings, and it's basically a big music venue in the town my parents grew up in called Derry. And it's funny, this hall was built in 1881, and then it was given to the Catholic Church. And the bishop at the time, where my parents were growing up, decided he would run events in it. So, and my mom and dad, you know, and it's funny, when we would talk about this, even before we were talking about the music piece, and they were telling me about, you know, they would go and play bingo on a Friday night and a Saturday night at this hall, never thinking anything about it. And what would happen is the bishop made so much money that he gave back to the community by bringing all these American artists over to play performances on Sunday night. Then he charged them to come in, of course.
Right.
But he was making pant loads of money that he could afford enough to fly these American artists over to Derry to have these big, big, cool venues. And I know we talked about going to Derry for the Halloween festival.
Yes.
Well, in 2021, Fatboy Slim and the girls from Derry Girls performed in St. Columb's Hall during the Halloween Fest.
Oh, that'd be neat.
I know, it's really cool. So, yeah, I was kind of interested to see that. I would love to see that. And I apologize, it's not 1881, it's 1886. And the hall is still standing, has massive acts. Still has massive acts. So, I mean, this is kind of cool. I'm going to play the Kingston Trio. And I hope you guys enjoy this one.
Had to come and take him away. Sheriff Johnstone.
Sheriff Johnstone.
Why don't you leave me alone?
Why don't you leave me alone?
Well, I feel so break up. I wanna go home.
I want to go home. So
I stop the John B. sails. See how the mainsail set. Call for the captain ashore. Let me go home.
Let me go home.
Let me go home.
I want to go home.
I want to go home.
Why don't you let me go home?
Well, I feel so break up. I wanna go home.
I want to go home.
Well, the poor cook, he caught the fits. Throw away all of my grits. Then he took and he ate up all of my corn. Let me go home.
I want to go home.
I wanna go home.
Why don't you let me go home?
This is the worst trip since I've been born.
Since I have been born, so now.
Hoist up the John B. sails. See how the mainsail set. Call for the captain ashore. Let me go home.
Let me go home.
Let me go home.
I want to go home.
I wanna go home.
Why don't you let me go home?
Well, I feel so break up. I wanna go home.
I want to go home. So now
I stop the John B.
sails.
See how the mainsail set.
Mainsail set.
Call for the captain ashore. Let me go home.
Let me go home.
Let me go home.
I want to go home.
I wanna go home.
Why don't you let me go home?
Well, I feel so break up. I wanna go home.
I want to go
home. KPP Concerts and CFRC 101.9 FM present a stacked lineup of shows this November at the Broom Factory, featuring some of your favorite big-name acts and a few local gems. On November 1st, check out Canadian indie legend Destroyer live at Broom Factory with Fortunato Duretti Marnetti. On November 8th, don't miss Shania Twink, your favorite all-queer femme country and pop cover band. On November 20th, Canadian rock and roll powerhouse JJ Wild comes back to town. And on November 25th, hip-hop icon Classified with support from Rhea May take the stage at the Broom. For additional information and to buy tickets, visit kppconcerts.com. See you at the shows.
I'd like to see Classified.
I would as well.
Yeah. All right. So, guys, I hope you enjoyed that. That was called Sloop John B. I mean, it's a cool song. I think I've heard a few covers of it. You hear the song and you go, oh, I recognize that, but I'm not sure it's that version of it. But I thought it was kind of cool. And I'm just reminiscing with my parents' stuff today. So
it was very soothing as a song. Like, I literally was kind of in my own head.
Almost like a children's lullaby.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I thought was kind of cool, though, was the whole kind of the banjo piece to it again. And I was like, oh, I wonder if any of those banjos.
Maybe you should get a banjo.
No. I tried the whole guitar thing. So I'm not I don't like to not be able to do things right off the bat. So I can pick up, you know, certain things and do it pretty easily. And when I can't, it frustrates me.
Yeah.
And guitar, and I think banjo's got to be the same way. It takes a lot of practice and a lot of time, and I know all things do. I just don't have the time. So, you know, when it becomes self-driving cars and I can sit in the back seat and just practice banjo to and from wherever I'm going, I'm in. But until then, I don't have the time. So, all right, moving on. Next, we're going to talk about Anne Murray. So she's a Canadian icon, right? So born in 1945, she was... She's a pop, country, and adult contemporary singer. She sold over 55 million albums. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
She's won 4 Grammys, including Grammy of the Year for Best Female Vocal Performance in 1979. She's actually the first Canadian solo singer to ever reach number one on the U.S. charts.
Really?
Yeah. And the first to earn a gold record for her signature song, Snowbird. Snowbird, which we're going to play. And she's often cited as the artist that kind of broke kind of broke into the American international scene. And she's kind of been known as the people that have kind of helped Katie Lang, Celine Dion, and Shania Twain break into that U.S. market because of how great she was. They look to her as being that kind of the pinnacle or the piece to reach, right? So it's pretty cool. I think it's really, really neat. She's got You Needed Me, which was, she was the first Canadian to win Album of the Year in 1984 for in the Country Music CMA Awards. So that's kind of cool. She was born in a coal mining town in Spring Hill, Nova Scotia, to a doctor. Her dad was Dr. James Carson Murray, and he was the town's physician. So I think that's kind of neat. And his mom was actually a nurse. Or her mom, I should say. Her mom was a nurse and also involved in community work. Like, there's so much stuff. She had five brothers. Here's what I did find really neat. She performed O Canada, the first ever American League baseball game played in Canada. So she sang at the Toronto, well, it's now the, it was Exhibition Stadium.
That's what I remember it as.
Yeah, right. So the X. And she performed O Canada, and it was April 7th, 1977, and it was when the Jays played the Chicago White Sox. And I think that was kind of cool. She also played at the first World Series game held in Canada, which was Game 3 of the World Series, the 1992 World Series, at the Sky Dome. So that was kind of cool. And then she also sang at the last Maple Leafs game in... she sang, yeah, in Maple Leaf Gardens, but she also sang the Maple Leaf Forever at the center ice of the Toronto Maple Leaf, wearing a Toronto Maple Leafs
would
jersey.
Have been sad.
Yeah, it's kind of neat, though. So it's really neat. And then I guess the final thing that I found out about her, February 12, 2010, she was one of eight Canadians that carried the Olympic flag in the opening ceremonies for the Olympic Games in Vancouver. I mean, she's had such a cool kind of life to do all, doing all above and beyond all the singing, but to kind of be involved in all these kind of like one-off events. So the first ever baseball game, the first ever World Series game, the last hockey game. Mm-hmm. To be a part of all that, the first time to carry the one of the first eight people to carry the American or the Canadian flag in the Olympics in Vancouver, like. Yeah, I think that's so cool.
Is she still alive?
Yeah, she is. She's retired. It did say Anne Murray / retired singer.
Okay.
So, yeah, she is retired. It's kind of neat. My parents saw her during their anniversary of their 30 years of nonsense.
Oh, okay.
So on their 30th wedding anniversary, they were in Vegas, and they saw her perform at the Bellagio. And she was there during her residency. So I was looking up again, and I go into these weird little rabbit holes of looking up information because I find it very interesting. So they said... it was funny. I was.
You can't read it to yourself.
I
you have to
sorry,
share
my
it with
apologies.
The listeners.
I was about to
and
laugh,
he's
and I wasn't.
To
I am chuckling to myself. So my parents were telling me the story, and my mom started laughing. And I said, "What are you laughing about?" She goes, "It's so funny that we went all the way to Vegas to see a person we could have seen perform in Canada.
Right.
She's a Canadian, but we went all the way to the U.S. to see her perform." And I was like, "Fair." So, without further ado, let's play a little Snowbird by Anne Murray. And I hope you guys like this one. It's really good. And I think Sarah Brightman's on this.
Beneath its snowy mantle, cold and clean, the unborn grass lies waiting for its coat to turn to green. The snowbird sings a song he always sings, and speaks to me of flowers that will bloom again in spring.
When I was young, my heart was young then too. But anything that it would tell me, that's the thing that I would do. But now I feel such emptiness within. For the thing that I want most in life's the thing that I can't win.
Spread your tiny wings and fly away, and take the snow back with you where it came from on that day.
The
what I love forever is untrue. And if I could, you know that I would fly away with you.
The breeze along the river seems to say that it'll only break my heart again should I decide to stay.
So little snowbird, take me with you when you go to that land of gentle breezes where the peaceful waters flow. Spread your tiny wings and fly away, and take the snow back with you where it came from on that day. What I love forever is untrue, and if I could, you know that I would fly away with you. If I could, you know that I would fly away with you.
Hey, are you a First Nations, Métis, or Inuit student? Not convinced university, college, or vocational trade school is possible? Or wondering what you should do after high school? Inspire can help you and your friends. Register for Inspire's free Indigenous mentorship program, Rivers to Success. Joining Rivers to Success gets you access to great information, great prizes, and exciting content. Discover careers and post-secondary paths geared towards Indigenous students across Turtle Island, just like you. Register online today at rivers2success.ca. Again, that's rivers2success.ca. Prizes, information, and fun are waiting.
All right, we're back. So, guys, next up, I'm going to talk about Chubby Checker. And I didn't know a ton about Chubby Checker other than he had two great songs. He had Twist and Let's Twist Again. I know he has Limbo Rock, but those are the two big hits that, as a DJ, I play all the time. It functions. I am going to play the Twist anyway today because it's one of his big ones, right? He actually grew up as Ernest Evans on the south streets of Philadelphia. So, and it's kind of funny. He grew up singing with his friends on the street corners, and he would mimic Jerry Lee Lewis, Elvis Presley, Fats Domino, and kind of other stars of that time. And then he gets his big hit. He gets an audition on American Bandstand with Dick Clark. And I know you've talked about Dick Clark in the past.
Yeah, I remember that.
We should kind of talk about him a little bit more, I think, sometime. And he actually gets he's able to record this novelty Christmas single. And he's doing these funny impressions. And Dick Clark's wife actually comes up with the name Chubby Checker. She calls him Chubby Checker.
Oh, really?
Based on what he was doing, kind of doing this. He was doing this little weird dance while he was singing this novelty song on American Bandstand. So that name kind of sticks with him. And he goes on, and he has a massive hit with Let's Twist.
Okay.
Right? No, excuse me. And it's one of the great landmarks, they say, of rock and roll, the Twist. And then Let's Twist Again and whatever. But where he kind of, again, has his downfall is when the Beatles come and the Rolling Stones come to America.
Damn Beatles.
I know. They literally just crush everybody in 1965 when they start going and traveling the world. And they kind of do that thing. But what's really interesting, what I found is in 2008, he is named the biggest chart hit of all time by Billboard magazine.
Really?
For the Twist. Yeah. And I guess it goes over the decades, right? Mm-hmm. So that song is such a huge score, and it's an up-tempo dance hit, and it kind of goes across all genres, I got to be honest. And again, my parents saw Chubby Checker in this hall in Derry that was put on by the Catholic Church, like, you know, the bishop of the time. And it's funny because my dad was saying, and it's funny, it's like, oh, yeah, yeah, all the grannies wanted to see him because he was doing this Twist thing. And I was like, in my head, I could just see, like, my grandmother and, you know, your grandmother kind of being like, ooh, let's see this guy. And it's just so funny because, you know, a few years down the road, Elvis is out and Chubby Checker is like nothing compared to Elvis.
He
and
was his tame kinda, compared to
yeah,
Elvis.
Yeah, so it's funny. My parents talk fondly about seeing him, and my mom always dances. So when we were prepping for this, I was playing Chubby Checker, and I could see my mom dancing in my peripheral in the kitchen. So my parents really think fondly of the times listening to Chubby Checker. So I'm going to play this one right off the bat. So this one's a quickie. Here we go, The Twist. Like that one. I'm pretty sure my mom's dancing in the kitchen right now.
I'm sure she is.
All right, let's talk about what we're doing this weekend. Tomorrow night, obviously, we got Hardway. I know I didn't announce the different categories, and people were asking me, and
the
I said
standings.
No, well, I haven't done that.
The standings
either.
Are on our dining room table.
I know. I've been away a week, and you've been sick, so they'll get done tonight, I think, and we'll put out the standings tomorrow. On a board so people will know where they're at.
Will we?
Maybe. I will tell you the category.
When you say we, you mean me.
I do mean me. Or you.
No.
Let me tell you about the categories for tomorrow night. So the categories are cars. So number one is cars. Number two is travel because we seem to do a lot of that. So, and we play a lot of travel songs. So it's travel.
Okay.
The third one is movement or exercise. It's...
Like jump?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. Okay. Who knows? It might be a gimme. Yeah, it might be a gimme. And the last one is called Tutti Frutti.
I don't know what that means.
I know. And somebody asked me, and I said, oh, I'm doing Tutti Frutti. And they said, what does that mean? And I said, you'll find out tomorrow night.
Right.
So those are the four categories. So that's tomorrow night, 7 to 11, Hardway. If you're going to come, please make a reservation. There's no point coming and not getting let in or scurrying to try and find a table or any of those kind of things. So make a reservation. It's just easier, guys. All of our regulars have standing reservations. Just, you know, make one yourself and then you'll be good. And then Saturday, I've got a wedding. I'm back to doing weddings.
You
so
do?
It's one of my last few of the season. So I'm not that excited that their weddings are over, but I'm excited to get back to doing a wedding. I miss weddings. So I'm looking forward to doing this. So it'll be a good night going out and playing to the wee hours of the morning. Hopefully we can go as late as possible. I can't remember what venue it is. So I'm hoping I'm a 1 or 2 o'clock a.m. kind of night. So I'm looking forward to that. And then Sunday.
I think we need to put our patio furniture away.
Yeah, well, when you say we, you mean me.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so Sunday I know what I'm doing. What about you? What are you doing other than coming with me tomorrow night if you feel better? What's that?
I actually don't have too many plans. Tomorrow night, actually, just to build on that, we do have a Hope Air meeting.
Oh, yeah.
So at Hardway at 5:30, I'm meeting with the team from Hope Air to talk about some fundraising activities upcoming.
Sorry, when you say I, you mean we.
Yeah, that time I did. Yeah, actually, yeah. We are meeting.
Okay. I'm like, oh, I don't have to go to this
But
one.
I have a very busy afternoon tomorrow, so it's all going to be very tight, but I'm going to make it happen. And then I'm going to be at Hardway with you until 11 o'clock, and then I'm going to fall down. And Saturday morning, I actually have a listing appointment, so everybody wish me luck with my listing appointment.
Yeah.
And then I don't currently have any other plans other than maybe get some sleep and clean the house, which is not very exciting or sexy at all, but it has to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's you also okay. never know in our world and or real estate world what's going to come up with other requests and showings and things like that. But Sunday right now we have wide open, so I think we're going to finally put away our patio furniture before it actually snows.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to a buddy in Calgary yesterday, and he was talking about wiping sleet and snow off his car. And I was like, you mean this year? And he goes, yeah, yeah, it snowed already here. And I was like, ugh, it's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming because this week has been so beautiful up until today. I mean, we got a sunburn at the game on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, I couldn't understand. I had blistered lips on Monday, and I was like, where did I get blistered lips? And then I was like, oh, yeah, I got a sunburn, really good sunburn. I had a really red nose on.
Yeah, we both did.
Yeah, it was crazy. and I had a hat on and everything, and I just didn't think about it, but it was literally so warm.
And like not in October, you don't think about it.
Yeah, well, yeah, and it was like 26 or 27 on Saturday sitting in the stadium and stuff. So, yeah, it was cool. So, anyway, our next artist is one of my favorite artists my dad ever played when I was growing up, and it's Neil Sedaka, and I really like Neil Sedaka. And again, it's something you learn as a kid that, you know, when your parents play this music over and over, you become fond of it, kind of like Simon and Garfunkel and Neil Diamond. And again, I did a little bit of research on Neil, and he actually won a scholarship to study piano at Juilliard as a child. So they had, I didn't know this, they had a prep division for children, and he won a full scholarship to play there. And then at age 13, so really young again, these young phenoms, he teams up with his neighbor called Howard Greenfield, and they go on to be one of the most successful and enduring songwriting partnerships of all time. And then they write songs for Connie Francis. I'm not going to play any Connie Francis. And then he goes on himself to be a huge star. So he sings O Carol, which is, and I didn't even know this. So O Carol is actually written about his then girlfriend, Carol King.
Oh.
So he writes, and that's in 59. He writes Calendar Girl in 60, Little Devil, Happy Birthday, Sweet 16. He writes both of those in 61. And then in 62, the song that I'm going to play, he writes Breaking Up Is Hard to Do. And this makes him an early kind of pop idol. They talk about him being one of the first kind of teen pop idols. And then again, you know what happens?
The Beatles.
Beatles and Rolling Stones.
I see a theme here.
Yeah. So later in the 60s, kind of that whole, his whole music career declines again, but then he gets signed by Elton John from the UK to his record album called, it was called Rocket Label, I think. And he goes on and he does a whole bunch of stuff with Captain and Tennille and just kind of goes on and on. And my parents and I actually was at this concert because we were talking about it. My uncle almost made us late to miss the concert, but we saw them at the Forum in Toronto. So we saw him. And then my parents were like, oh, yeah. And we also saw Peaches and Herbs and Donnie and Marie. And they were just talking about all the different concerts they had saw at the Forum. So I was like, all right. So we've seen a lot of concerts at the Forum. And I'm pretty sure my sister and I were there. And, you know, my dad was talking about it. My mom and dad would go into the Forum pretty early. They'd get us our seats. We'd sit down, and then my dad would duck out, and he'd go get all the food and come back, and we'd watch the show. And my sister and I would probably either be in, like, a little tracksuit or pajamas, and then we'd fall asleep, and then they'd carry us to the car at the end of the show.
Terrence and Kathy.
I know. It's so funny. But it's pretty funny, like, just kind of sitting talking about it. And my dad was talking about my dad was talking about the stage revolving around, you know, the Forum. And then my mom was like, oh, yeah, do you remember when Donnie popped out of the stage? and then appeared just in the audience, like in this, like in with people and stuff. And I was like, I don't remember it, but you guys do. So I thought that was kind of neat. I mean, they were, they had some really cool memories talking about the whole music thing that they did. And, so here's a little bit of Neil Sedaka. I think he's fantastic, and I'm sure you guys are going to love him as well.
Down, doo-dee-doo, down, down. Come-a, come-a, down, doo-dee-doo, down, down. Come-a, come-a, down, doo-dee-doo, down, down. Breaking up is hard to do. Don't take your love.
That's a good one. So next we're going to talk about Lou Rawls. Lou Rawls is kind of interesting for me. Only because when I was looking him up, I found out that he actually was in a choir with Sam Cooke, Curtis Mayfield, and they played in the Chicago, in a choir in Chicago as kind of young men. And I thought that was kind of interesting that, you know, he performed with other really famous artists in a church choir growing up. So it's pretty neat. And then he also goes on and performs in some R&B bands and stuff like that. And then he actually takes off. He just stops music altogether, and he becomes an American Army paratrooper.
Really?
Yeah, he just stopped music altogether, and then he comes back after, and he joins a gospel choir. And it's funny, I was talking to somebody about Lou Rawls this week, and they only know him as a gospel singer.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I had never known him as a gospel singer. And so I was kind of like, oh, okay, well, I've got to find out that. You know, he was doing a tour, and he gets in a car crash, and he's left in a coma.
Oh.
Yeah, and he has no memory for a while. He takes a year to recover, but then makes a huge comeback. And this all happens before 62. So in the early 60s, like I said, late 50s, he's this R&B crooner. He's, you know, playing in some church choirs and stuff. And then he goes off and becomes a paratrooper, comes back, starts his singing, and then gets literally almost killed while on tour and has to start all over again, which I thought was wild. And he goes on, he still does, not still, but at that time he was doing both like jazz, R&B, and gospel. So he was kind of playing in all the different genres, which I thought was really neat. And he has his first Grammy Award for a single, Dead End Street. And I thought that was kind of neat. He has a whole bunch of different stuff. And again, we don't have a ton of time, so I'm kind of just jumping around here pretty quick. He also sings the Star Spangled Banner at Muhammad Ali fights and World Series baseball games. So again, looking and it's just funny, my parents have seen these people that have sang at really big sporting events as well. So I thought it was kind of neat. And then he does a bunch of Budweiser commercials. So he's that guy that, you know, was in the 70s and 80s doing his voiceovers.
Yeah, I do remember.
But I didn't know it was Lou Rawls, obviously. I was a kid or whatever. And then he is in Garfield.
Really?
He was in Garfield. And he's in the Blues Brothers movies, Leaving Las Vegas. And then he dies, unfortunately, in 2006 of cancer. But what I can say, that, and I'll be a little bit more uplifting at this part, my parents saw him on their 30 Years of Nonsense tour when they were in Vegas seeing Ann Murray. So they saw Lou Rawls. But what was kind of interesting is he was just performing in one of the local bars. He wasn't actually in a big venue.
Okay.
They said they kind of just stumbled across him, which they thought was kind of cool, that they weren't even trying to go see him play at a massive venue or whatever. He just happened to be playing in one of the bars. And they heard this guy singing, and they were like, oh, my God, it's Lou Rawls, and went in and kind of watched this guy perform, which I thought was kind of cool. So, I wrote down that, you know, that my parents enjoyed their concerting during their 30 years of nonsense as well. So, guys, enjoy this Lou Rawls song. It's called Lady Love, and thanks.
Lady love, your love is peaceful like a summer's breeze. My lady love, with love that's tender as a baby's touch, you give me all of the things that I need so much. You're my world, lady love. Is cooling like the winter snow. My lady love, with a love that's cozy as a fire's glow. And I keep on needing you, girl, a little more and more. And I thank you, my lady love. You know, it's not easy. Keep love going smooth. People are people and they all have their moods. But it's so nice just to have someone like you who wants a smooth and easy thing and all the good times. And down, my lady love. I once was lost, but now with you I'm found. You got the love I need, and I want to stay around. Heaven sent you down, my lady love. Let me tell you that it's not easy. Keep love going smooth. You know people are people, and they all have their moods. But it's so nice just to have someone like you who wants a smooth and easy thing and all the good times and the joy that it brings. My lady love, you've been with me through all of my ups and downs and my crazy turnarounds, my lady love. You got the love I need, so stay around. Heaven sent my lady love.
Lady love.
Oh, lady.
Lady love.
You got the love I need so much, and I love your tender touch.
Time left. left here. I just want to say we'll get back to regular programming next week. I hope you enjoyed going down memory lane with Sherry and I, and all the music from my parents and their 30 years of nonsense. So until next week, guys, have a great week, and we will see you hopefully at Hardway.